God, before what? We record.
Well.
It's just more Magic the Gathering stuff.
Oh so my God.
It doesn't matter. I did a draft today on Magic the Gathering Arena, sponsoring the episode. I did a draft, which is... it's a premier draft, so you put in like 1,000 gems. It costs 1,000 gems, which is like it's the Fortnite like tricking you into spending money, and then it's casino rules, and you don't know. And then you draft a bunch of cards with a bunch of real people, and then you play against them, and the more you win, you have to win like 5 in a row to get. To get all of the like what you put in back, and then you can, and then it keeps going up. Anyway, I won 7 today, so I won a fuckload of things. I was the holy best shit. In pod, so like our group, I just did it. I stormed it. It felt fucking awesome.
Wow, I'm sick. So proud of you. Magic
You're
the Gathering
allowed-
Arena. Don't sponsor us.
You're not allowed to sponsor us because you're an evil corporation, but you make a good game. So I like
game. Yeah, I guess. Some say you make a good game. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's more of us than there are of you, so you can calm down.
There's more of us, actually.
In your house, there's more of us.
In my house, for sure.
In the world?
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the world,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think I can swing. I don't even need.
You
to
think there are more Magic the Gathering players than
see that?
Not
Did you
in
see
the
that?
World?
Did you see that? Did you see that storm? Did you see that giant storm going on outside?
I did.
I can swing 3 billion people. I think.
Sure. Okay. How about we get like, you know, a couple thousand to listen to this podcast before we start. Before we start swaying billions of people, if you have those powers, why don't you start using them to make us?
Because I can only
money,
use them
you?
For evil is the problem.
Yeah.
I can't
gathering?
Use them for okay. positive things. Yeah, I can only use them for evil and to piss you off.
Yeah.
Also,
accomplished.
Also, first of all, you saying. You doing the like, oh, I'm so proud of you, whilst I'm wearing a Buzz Lightyear hoodie does not do it for me. I didn't like that energy. I felt like I was your stupid child who you don't like. And I didn't like it.
Well, maybe don't talk about your stupid card game while wearing a Buzz Lightyear hoodie. Maybe talk about a good game and smoke a cigar like a grown-up.
Can I still wear the Buzz Lightyear hoodie, though?
No, you have to wear a 3-piece suit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I look good in a suit. Call me
Barney Not right
Stinson.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Call me Barney Stinson later. That's fine. Because nothing suits me like a suit. You understand. You get the bit. Where was a
I
bit
do
of
get
like...
It.
There was a bit of like bit lag that we had, but we're back and it's fine.
We're back. What are we doing? Oh my God.
Oh my God, this is Dogspawn. It's a show where we talk about video games like a book club, specifically choice games. We are doing Mass Effect 3.
Three.
The final of the trilogy of Mass Effect. This is our first Mass Effect 3 episode. My name is Robin. We didn't do that.
Oh, hi, my name is Dylan, and I've played two Mass Effect games.
Oh, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. Speaking of playing the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times, I have played this game 100 million times. This is my most clocked hours in a Mass Effect.
That makes sense.
It is my favorite. I think it has some of the best moments in the whole franchise. I think it feels gameplay and mechanically way better than the other two.
I'm liking it.
I really love it.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when people are like, oh, but two is the best, I'm like, yes, two is the best. Three is my favorite. And that's how I feel about this game. We Fair. Played the prologue, which is we did Earth, and then we did Mars, and then we did the first bit of the Citadel.
Okay. So I did. All right.
You did. Then you did do what we.
I did do the right thing do. Because when I went to go look online, I then saw that the prologue was just that intro bit before you go to Mars was just.
So I
was like, oh, maybe I did too much, but that
I consider the prologue to be until you have a choice in who's going, like going with you on a journey. Also, I was on the wiki and it says the prologue is those three missions. And I was like, yeah, it's those three missions. So I was backed up by, I was backed up by, the wiki. Anyway. So we did that.
Before we talk about the prologue of Mass Effect 3, I found out something about Mass Effect. I found out that, like Dragon Age, they have a thing similar to Dragon Age Keep called the Genesis comic.
Yeah.
The Genesis Interactive comic that I wanted to play through and see what it was like.
Ooh.
So I did that. It is super interesting. So just if you are like a person who, you know, maybe wants to like start at Mass Effect 3 because it seems like it's going to be more your speed mechanically or something like that, and you're not wanting to play through Mass Effect 1 and 2. I played through it, and now I know some of the differences between that and Dragon Age Keep. Dragon Age Keep is like a chronicle of every single choice that you make across all games.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them get shout out in the interactive, like, story that Varric's voice actor reads aloud at the end, but you do get to chronicle all of them, and they all get ported into the world state. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect is way more abridged in terms of what choices they have you make. It's got definitely all the big important ones, but
mm-hmm.
there are definitely a lot missing. And instead of porting them all in and then playing back the story, you are listening to and watching the story unfold. And then at several points during the comic, it gives you a prompt to make the choice that you've made. And there are some tricky ones where, like, it doesn't give you as many choices as you actually have to make in the game. Like, you can't break yeah. up with anybody and start a new relationship.
It's just kind of one person.
It's like, yeah, it's a tricky little system. But I found that there are some like guides that are like, hey, if you want to make the choices that you like, here's the choices you want to make. Here's how to play through the Genesis comic to get what you want.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so it's cool. And it's very, like, stylistically, it's really different than the Dragon Age one. It's very fun. It does look like a comic, like a proper comic book that's, like, flipping pages.
That's
really
cool.
It's really fun. Have you ever played through it?
I never did. So this comic was made, like, when they started doing, when it continued on and Dragon Age had it, and it's like, okay, we probably need something like this as well for the other games so people don't have to play them. But it was also primarily used because Mass Effect, I think, 1 and 2, I might be wrong about that, it might just be 1, wasn't on the PlayStation 3. It's the PlayStation 3 started on Mass Effect 2, I think. I might be wrong on that. And then did 3. So then to get people like, okay, you don't need to play 1. This is what you can do. You did that. However, on hearing that, I was like, oh, I just won't get it on PS3. Then I got it on Xbox instead. Because much how we started this podcast, I did a tiny bit of it And I was like, this is neat. I want to experience it, though, and I want to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I... Because even though I bought... I got one and two together when I was super bored with one, someone was like, you can just do the comic and then skip one. And then halfway through it, I was like, no, I'll just play one.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, it is worth it because truthfully, we played one in so many segments, but it is a short game. Like, you really could...
It's like 8 hours. Bang it
out.
Yeah.
You could bang it out in a day if you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go on to Mass Effect 2, which I super recommend you play anyway because it's just really good. And with the Legendary Edition, it's like, just... play two. It's just easy to get a hold of 1, 2, and 3. You may as well. Yeah. However,
that was cool. Anyway, prologue.
That is cool. Speaking of prologues that aren't or extracurricular things, in between Mass Effect 2 and 3, voice squeaked there, there is a movie called Paragon Lost. Which revolves around a character called James Vega, who is voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr., who's our starting companion in Mass Effect 3.
Yep.
It is an anime. I have never seen it. This time next week I will. I intended to watch it beforehand because it's all on YouTube. It's like an hour and a half long. It's all on YouTube. And I was going to, but instead I watched Predator, Killer of Killers.
Everybody watch Predator, Killer of Killers.
Holy shit. Everybody it's do so it. So fucking cool. It is Holy literally shit. Just four extended fight scenes and so fucking hot. The coolest it's, shit ever.
It's great. It's yeah. It's great. Did I don't want to say any more to you.
Did you watch Prey?
And so you were like, we actually started it immediately afterwards, and then I fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, Ellie
because
was
it was 1:30 in the morning. But
yeah, and your shutdown time is
my
2 a.m.
shutdown time hit hard. Yeah.
Hey gang, whenever Dylan and I hang out, it hits 2 a.m. and it's not like Dylan's like, I'm really tired, gang. I gotta go to bed. If it hits 2 a.m., Dylan is asleep.
Yep.
Like. It is comical. We have had parties, loud parties at my old place in Toronto. It hit 2 a.m. regardless of music. Dylan was fast asleep.
Yep.
And fully passed out on the sofa.
Yeah. I don't go to sleep. I turn off.
Turn off like a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Anywho.
We just finished Mass Effect 2. We have destroyed the collector base.
Yep.
Then, 6 months later is when we pick up Mass Effect 3. We are on Earth. We have been stripped of our title. And we are being held at Earth waiting for a council to make a decision on us being court-martialed or not because of the events of Arrival, the DLC where we destroyed the... thing, which is a thing that Admiral Hackett tells us he's going to do. He tells us he's going to have to court-martial us, or might have to court-martial us, even though he was like, I would have made the same decision, but you killed 300,000 living people. Unfortunately, you kind of have to do some community service for that. I was like, okay.
Yeah, we have to go to court about it.
Yeah.
Or do we? So we're in we're on Earth. We meet with Anderson pretty right off the bat. And our old buddy.
Yes.
Yeah.
How was Kaiden for you, Kaiden?
Yeah, Kaiden and I have a seemingly strained relationship.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a little tense. Kaiden keeps trying to call me by my old title and I keep being like, I'm not actually.
I'm no longer that.
And
I've been stripped of the title and you know this.
Yeah, and keeps questioning my decisions also. And I'm like, which is it, buddy? Do you, like,
Whoa. What's going on? Interesting.
Yeah. So we've got a little tenuous relationship happening there.
Ashley, the big racist, is my number one fan still. I'm rocking
That's
up.
That's great.
She is now Lieutenant Commander. She is like a big role in the Alliance and is like, oh, wait, no, she is a little strange because she's like, oh, I just don't trust that you're not like literally a Cerberus.
That you're not
plug.
Still Cerberus. And I keep being like, I'm not. And I wasn't also. Like, I'm not now
don't
and
ever
I wasn't
talk to
before.
Me like that. Yeah.
Don't ever second guess me. And like you said, we meet James Vega, who is very like respectful of us off the bat. Seems to be like a military guy, basically, like your standard fallen in line soldier. And like we get summoned kind of quickly off the bat that there's like a danger alert. And Shepard also off the bat is just like, you know, I get that I'm supposed to be on leave and like waiting, you know, to get court-martialed.
Patiently.
But like, but like, I did tell you all that the Reapers are for sure coming. And like, we do need to do something about that stat. And then there's like a defense committee calls like an emergency meeting. Summons everybody, and we're like, so it's Reapers, so it's for sure Reapers, definitely. I might be taking a little bit of extra Renegade, although I did start two that way and then wound up Paragon by the end. But kind of starting that way with being like, yeah, you shouldn't have benched me. We should be prepared for this. Like, we should be.
Yeah.
And just kind of taking those options. So Anderson is trying to vouch for me that it's like that I know what I'm doing, but we still have to wait, whatever it is. What happens after that? Oh, we go to the courtroom. And
we meet with a defense committee. Yeah.
And there's like an emergency message that comes across, and it's on, I forget where, but our defense is on the, was it the moon?
Oh, as in like where they first attacked? Maybe, probably it was the moon. There's like, it's like the outer, like, defense ring of Earth has been,
and we get like video footage of the like base there getting just absolutely attacked and decimated, and like everything goes offline, and the Reapers. Oh, it's the Luna base. They go past the Luna base, and then they are headed straight here to Earth. So it's like in the courtroom where we're meeting the defense committee. As we're trying to make a decision about what to do, boom, like the Reapers shoot into the place. Half of the courtroom blows up. You and Anderson are like blown back. Shepard and Anderson are blown back. And of course, we're fine. And then it is like, okay, well, we got to get out of here and get off of Earth and get to the Normandy and figure out what we're gonna do about this. And so then it's like we're running.
Yeah. We're diving across rooftops and
it's
doing
cool.
Some real Assassin's Creed shit. As it's not even like background. It's fully foreground. These multi skyscraper sized beasts of the Reapers. And because it's like we fought one Reaper before and it
wasn't even fully formed
entirely
yet.
Destroyed everything. Oh yeah, and then we personally killed the human Reaper, and now we're seeing like tens of them descending on Earth and just annihilating everything.
Everything.
It's truly horrifying.
We find a little boy in a vent, And he ominously says, "You can't save me," and then crawls away into the darkness.
Yeah.
And then later, we're like, we find, Anderson and I find, like, some surviving soldiers. Anderson's, like, trying to help them out. We are doing, you know, mechanic tutorials as we find our way to the Normandy. Mm-hmm. And as we do, then Anderson is like, "I have to stay behind and lead these people."
Yeah.
This, I'm like, all right.
The entire defense committee just died in front of me.
Yeah.
I have to, like, he's like, "I want to go back to my roots and I want to be the
so I'm
be
like,
the one
all right,
to lead all these people."
Get it. And then some ships come to extract people. That little boy gives us
clambers
a
onto...
solemn look, gets into the ship. And then as it takes off,
Aretha lands and just blows it out of the sky, immediately destroys
blows them all,
two,
like multiple ships,
all passenger ships, none of the military, and they all burn as like the title music from Mass Effect 3 plays, this like real sad piano, which we'll be hearing throughout the game. It has this like boo beep boo boo. It's really good. I fucking love the I don't know what it's called. It might be called The Arrival, is the song. Anyway, it's crazy. And then we shoot away on the Normandy, leaving Earth. Then there is this whole thing. Vega then gets really mad at us and is like, "How are we leaving everyone behind?" And I full yelled at him. Shiv is like, this is the second time she's left Earth now. And she's like, "I can't, I'm not having your shit. I'm the most stressed a human being can be. I've been warning everyone about this for 3 full years. And it is now. And now it is go time."
It's now. It's, and that's tough. And we have to go.
Yeah.
I think I took a more compassionate approach with him. Something about, "I know it's tough, but we just have to."
The song
so
is
then,
called Leaving Earth. Sorry. It's called Arrival. It's called Leaving Earth. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's it. So we get onto the Normandy. We then are...
Hackett then messages into us and is like,
"That's it.
We can't lose the system. Our like the solar system of like Earth."
And Hackett's all janky. Like we can barely hear it and see him. He's like,
yeah,
all he's all like distorted,
fizzing. He's like, "Go to Mars and just protect that station because there's a lot of like Prothean things there." Because that's where we found the first ever Prothean device that launched us into, like, space travel and space flight was, the Prothean device was on Mars. So he's like, "Please go and protect it because we can't. If we lose Mars, then we've completely lost this system. It's our last hope."
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. You zip-zap boing all the way over there. You arrive on Mars. I also love this opening because it is all things that we know. In this whole game, we like in this franchise, the only time we've ever gone local cluster is Mass Effect 1 on that like extra little bit where we're on the moon. But this is also fun because it is we start on Earth and then we go to Mars. It's such a fun like, oh, it's local. It's like all of the things we know.
It is really cool.
Hey, have you been enjoying our playthrough of Mass Effect and want more cyber adventures of your own?
And if you're a tabletop RPG geek, like I know many of you are, you should check out the latest crowdfund and the first official expansion for Cyber Plus Punk, Overload.
Cyber Plus Punk runs on a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, specifically designed for action-packed one-shots, and this new expansion adds 16 new scenarios and add-ons to this award-winning one-shot pamphlet cyberpunk game.
In it, you can infiltrate a mega prison, escape a bloody reality TV show, solve a time loop, race vehicles in the Badlands, experience a cyberpunk rave, or explore the Netscape. You can get all of this and more when you back the expansion on Kickstarter by searching CBR plus PNK colon overload.
That's CBR plus PNK colon overload.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at diceexploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Land on Mars, and then we immediately find those ratty little men, Cerberus, knocking around.
Yeah, and they're attacking us outright. They attack Shepard on site. And everybody's like, weren't you working with them? And I'm like, shut up. No. God. Yeah.
No, it's the worst. Also, I believe we hear from Hackett that Liara has found a way to stop the Reapers, full stop. It's like what she was working on. And
I don't remember
hearing.
I don't remember it, so I was surprised when I saw her. So that's
very
interesting.
Good.
I have it written here before.
Oh, look, Cerberus are here. I have Liara has found a way to stop the Reapers.
Okay, I probably just didn't hear him say that because when she shows up, because she like we get into this to this big facility. And we're, you know, being attacked by Cerberus and stuff like that. And then we get a little cutscene where Liara is running through a bunch of vents and like just barely evading them and then hops down, and it's really cool. And then we reunite.
She doesn't just crawl through vents and then like take out two people. She shoots them both in midair and then walks over to them and then like unloads rounds in their face. Like,
yeah,
is
cool
so cold about it. Yeah, she's really changed from who she was in. Well, she actually even hasn't really changed from who she was in one, because in one she is like kind of ambivalent about a lot of brutal things. She's like, yeah, it kind of has to happen. They have to die. It's you or them.
But she's been.
And then that was exacerbated in two. She's now the Shadow Broker. That's our girl. And now she's like, yeah, I don't care anymore. I'm going to kill people who don't, who like try to hurt me at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's cool. And I love her for that in a non-romantic, non-sexual way.
Wait, what? That's your wife.
Nope.
She loves you, dude.
That's her problem.
Everyone's saying that you two are hooking up. Is that not the case? That's crazy.
Oh, everyone's saying it, are they?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know how the rumor got started. People said that she has your armor
suspicion.
In her house.
Yeah. I have some thoughts about it. Yeah. So she reveals that she knows some stuff.
She has found plans for a Prothean device. It's not completed, and it's one of, and you're like, well, that's convenient that you found it now. And she's like, honestly, we have kind of known about it, but we didn't understand what the use of it was, and we found it out of desperation, and like we kind of had more idea, like, oh, the Reapers are a thing, then let's search that in these Prothean archives. Oh, look at this. Here's an unfinished, his unfinished plans. We don't know what that is. And then it's like, oh, shit. This is a Reaper killing machine. Mm-hmm, that's what we need. So she finds it. However, in this whole facility, it's like, oh, it's weird that everyone here is dead. It must be that there was someone on the inside who opened up the doors for Cerberus. And then it turns out that there's this lady called Dr. Eva, who's been running around.
Right. Yeah, we see her first. We see Dr. Eva first on the cameras, like fiddling with something. And this whole sequence is pretty cool, I think, where we see her fiddling on the cameras and then like running away. And then we go through, we like hijack a tram. And then like we trick Cerberus into thinking that we're a different squad and that we've killed everybody and that we're on our way back. And then obviously we get there, we get ambushed, and it's good. It's great fighting. And then we see like the full, we get to like see like the full thing of Dr. Eva, taking like that data and then like destroying all of the surveillance cameras. So then we run into her and we've got to get her, and she running.
Before we find her, we get to the Prothean device and she's fiddling with it. However, the elusive man appears to us.
Oh right, this bitch and appears.
Like, yeah, and it's like, hey Shepard, long time no see. And you're like, what do you want, bitch? And he's like, well, you're here to destroy the Reapers. I actually think we should control the Reapers instead using this same device.
Of course
you
do.
That's why I'm here. Yeah.
Because that's what you say about everything.
Everything.
You're so annoying.
Also, we also take the helmet off of a Cerberus agent and their eyes are all fucked up, like they're indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the elusive man now, he has real deep blue eyes like Saren had at the end of one. So the idea is that he and now all of Cerberus have been indoctrinated in some way. And much like Saren, the elusive man thinks, no.
We can use this.
I can destroy. I can control all of them. And that's and so because he is also looking for these plans that we have come here for at the same time. Because that's what Dr. Eva is collecting, because he's like, yes, there's this giant device that's unfinished, but you know what we can do with that giant device? Control them. She downloads most of it, deletes the rest of the footage because you get there and the elusive man is talking. And then, and then you're full ass sprint chasing her through this facility. It is a really cool sequence. This game opens with a bang. It's awesome.
It does.
There's a lot of shit happening. And then, you send James Vega away earlier when Liara turns up to be like,
come
with me. Yeah.
Yeah, get the ship started.
And then as you're chasing her, she gets in a vehicle, like a hover vehicle, starts flying away, and then James Vega rolls up in your thing and smashes into it. Car explosion.
Yeah.
It fucking rules. What a cool
guy. It really
rules.
Yeah. He just bashes into her.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, well, we can't get... Yeah, they can't get away with the footage, so fuck it. Let's just kill them instead by trashing it.
And then we're all like, okay, let's walk away, I guess. And then there's a cutscene where she climbs out of the rubble. Obviously. Climbs out of the rubble, goes straight for Kaden Alenko.
Yeah.
Grabs my boy by the neck.
And is slamming his head into the car.
And nearly kills him. And then I'm like, oh no. Fuck you. Absolutely fucking not.
And there's another cool sequence where she starts sprinting to you and you're like unloading into her in slow motion as she's full like Terminator 2. Now, twist that we didn't say. Turns out she is not a human. She is a full-ass robot. She is a robot wearing human skin and is Terminator 2 style running at you as you're shooting her.
When do we learn that?
After she gets out of the car.
Oh, it's like right after she gets out.
Because you just think she's just a really fast person, and then the car crashes, all the humans die inside, and then she climbs out, the skin burnt off, and she's all metal. And you're like, oh,
admittedly,
fuck,
pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really fun. Really cool. Same thing happens with Ashley. She also gets the shit beaten out of her head, slammed into the car a couple times.
Yeah.
And then you
Do you have the option to leave her there? Do you have the option to
No.
Let it happen.
No,
I don't. Stand by.
Yeah. Stand by and watch. Go to James and be like, I think we're done here, actually.
I think we're good.
I think we're good. Damn. Two birds, one stone. Am I right? And then you got a high five, James. And he's like, what is wrong with you?
What's wrong? Are you sure that...
And Liara's like, no, no, it's real. She's actually really evil.
She's really evil. It sucks.
Yeah. And then you take both of them back to the ship. And Liara's like, this squad mate needs real medical attention.
Real medical attention.
Now. Mm-hmm. We have to go to the Citadel. And you're like, okay. And then you plot a course for the Citadel. You're trying to extract the data out of Dr. Eva as well. Wait, Dr. Eva is her name? Yeah.
Dr. Eva.
Trying to extract the data out of her. So she's also remaining on the ship for a bit as you're like, you know, taking it. And then you get to the Citadel. Then you have a thing which I think is so cool, because you get there. The council want to see you because they are like, what the fuck has been happening? What is happening on Earth? You need to immediately come to us and say words. But first you can go. You meet Bailey, who is now Commander Bailey. He was our contact in Mass Effect 2. He was also in Mass Effect 1. He has now been super promoted. He is now he's Counselor Anderson. No, because it's Captain Anderson. Who the fuck is my counselor? It's not, because Captain David Anderson is yours. Mine is the other guy, who is... Oh my god, I'm gonna throw up. he's like the secretary to the counselor. Udina! Counselor Udina.
Oh yes,
He's the secretary to Counselor Udina for me. Who is Ambassador Udina still for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But he's cool. You have a fun conversation with him that I really like. I got Diana Allers on my ship. Did you get Diana Allers?
I did too. Allers? Yes. Nice. Diana Allers is like, she approaches you and she's not like a reporter. She's like an influencer, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much. She's
sort of
a military
like, I have
reporter,
a million
but it's
viewers.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to turn. And what she's like, her pitch is that like, we need to document what's happening and B, get people to know about it so they know how dire the situation is and that they are on board, and we need everybody we can get. And so I'm like, you know what? You are actually right. Come on board.
Yeah. And so this is a cool thing. It's kind of cool. It's completely random. Diana Allers is voiced by Jessica Chobot, who was at the time a really hugely influential video game journalist. And she
got that's really fun.
This gig because of that. Like, everyone knew who Jessica Chobot was around this time. And it was a really like, it was one of the things she did, like Inside Xbox and stuff like that. She was like one of the face reporters.
Sure.
Yeah. So she got hired to do this gig because of that. It was like, it's like the character model looks like her and is based on her and she voices her.
That's fucking rad. That's cool as hell. We go then, down. We also see Dr. Chakwas.
Yeah, baby.
As well,
who,
we reunite
in an incredibly fun scene where you speak to her, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm super needed. I'm so busy. There's so many people coming in because you go to this whole medical wing because that's where you put your squad mate." And you're like, "Do you want to come on the Normandy?" She's like, "Yeah, fuck yeah. Oh my god, I'll dump everything here. I don't care about any of this."
What was
I wanna
really
join you
funny.
So bad.
For me is she said that. She said, you know, like there's so much research to be done, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, well, I'm glad that they have you. She's like, cause she's like, do you need me on the Normandy? And I was like, oh, you should stay here. Do some research. Seems like we need it. And she goes, I'm a field doctor. I'm a field scientist. What are you talking about? So I initially picked the option that was like, oh, yeah, stay.
Oh,
and then she was like, what's wrong with you? I didn't mean anything that I just said to you. I'm
Please, I want to be on the ship. I want to be on my ship
again.
Please
put me on the ship. And I was like, okay, okay. Good God, just say what you mean next time. I don't.
Which is so funny considering that 6 months ago she was kidnapped by aliens and was going to be turned into goop, and she's still like, I need to be on that ship. It's my favorite place in the whole world. And it's like, yeah, of course, ma'am. Of course you can. So you get her on. Then you say like a couple words to your squad mate when you see them.
Yeah.
I really like this section, this medical wing section, because you keep coming back here throughout the game.
I was wondering about that.
Filling
That's
up
cool.
and it's a whole thing. I really love it. At this moment, you're walking through and they have upped the like ambient feeling dialogue so much.
Yes.
You're walking past people talking about events that have previously happened in the games, the current ones, and listening to a radio broadcast of what you have done previously.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Like the whole world feels like it's in it's fun because it really lends you this weird thing of like, oh, in a weird way, Commander Shepard is the protagonist of the universe right now. Is like everyone is looking at them. And everyone is like questioning if they're like, if the things that they're doing is like moral and right. Or like if they exist at all. Some people are still questioning the Reaper's existence. But everyone is looking at Shepard. And you hear it in ambient and you hear it on radio broadcasts. Everyone is talking about you all the time. And it's this weird like, oh shit, I gotta do a really good job here. Because if I fuck up then...
I gotta save everybody again.
Everyone is looking at me to do this. I just liked that pressure. I think that pressure, especially for this third act, is really cool. You go speak to the council. They are not helping you once again.
Once again. Except this time, after you talk to them and they're like, no thanks. We'd rather not get involved in this, whatever. The Turian counselor then comes and finds you separately and is like, hey, I'll help, but.
You have to do this thing for me first. Yeah,
there's like somebody missing in the Turian homeworld or something like
Primarch
that.
Primarch Fedorian, yeah.
Yeah, and it all basically boils down to a quid pro quo. Hey, you do this favor for me, I'll consider using our world-saving organization to save the world.
Yeah.
But I'll think about it.
Because in the council meeting, the Asari... and the Salarians both say similar things. Well, the Salarian specifically says, oh, we can help you when we feel safe, but our people don't feel safe at the minute. And Shepard gets really pissed when speaking to the Turian, is like, well, what do you mean you need help? We need this now. And then the counselor for me and the Turian are both like, this is politics. Like, we have to do it. We're all working together, right? So you have to help us too. And it's this another fun thing of Shepard now has to do politics.
Fine.
Fucking be your grunt. Go save your guy. And then you give me like 5,000 ships to stop the galaxy ending, you fucking asshole. It's cool. I really like it. Oh, you get reinstated Spectre status.
Oh, yes. You get your Spectre status
really
back.
That's cool.
Love that.
Cool, nice, fun thing. I found the reporter. I then beat up the reporter again.
Oh, fuck
because
that
she
reporter.
She immediately is like, starts just doing heinous journalism. It's bad, so I beat him up. And then you go back on the ship. And you have a little dream sequence. Weird little dream sequence where you're chasing the little kid that you watched die the woods, and you're running through sludge. And then as you get to the kid gets set on fire, and you just kind of watch in horror as the kid burns.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you're like,
and then you wake up.
That sucks.
This is the story of my life, apparently.
Yeah. No rest for the wicked. You then meet Samantha Traynor, who is doing what the woman, the, like, you've received a new message at your private terminal
character was
doing in 2, but Samantha Trainor rules. Is voiced by the female Inquisitor. She does the voices of both. And she's really great. She, like, walks you through, this is what your ship looks like now. I will kind of be an assistant, but I'm not your assistant. I was an engineer, and I was so good that they were like, hey, can you just do this and just stay here? Mm. And I was like, okay. Edie then pops in and is like, and says, oh no, Samantha Trainor is a really good employee. And then she's like, cool, thank you. It's weird that your VI does that. And you're like, oh no, she's fully self-aware. And she's like, huh.
Yeah.
I've been saying that your voice is really sexy and hot all the time. Can we just not talk about that? And he's like, duly noted.
then wait till you hear my opinions on humans and what they look like on their knees. we'll get to it.
So, and then we get our final bit of the prologue before we're thrust into the full game. We re-meet with Admiral Hackett. In the council meeting, we talk about the catalyst. It's the thing that we need to kind of kickstart this Reaper killing device. And then we kind of get the crux in this meeting with Admiral Hackett of what we're doing this game. Admiral Hackett says, we need to find people who can build this device. Find people who can try and figure out how this works. And we also need to make a galactic force big enough to retake Earth is the idea. And so that's the game. You're trying to build up as much force as you can to retake Earth, kill the Reapers, but also to find enough people to try to decode and then build this, like, galactic super weapon that is going to kill all the Reapers. And that's it. That's our...
That's the setup.
That's the prologue. That's the setup.
It's a beautiful prologue. It's packed, which I love. And most importantly, I will say that mechanically, I feel as though I am having a easier time so far. I feel like the HUD is very clean. I feel like the mechanics move very clean. And also, unrelated to the design of the actual game itself, I did mount a TV on my wall, and now I can play on big screen, and that makes me feel really good. Because I love my video games being through Steam, because I don't like being restricted to consoles, but I don't like playing at my computer.
On a PC. Hate it.
So now I am having a just nicer experience playing video games in
general. That's fucking awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'm having a great time.
Overjoyed.
Yeah, it's good. I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm excited to find out where everyone's at.
We want to talk about being fucking excited. Next week, we're doing this mission on this Turian moon. We're doing a big Turian battle. Yes. Fucking cool. Oh. Priority Palavian. And then we are doing our first DLC. A DLC with a character that truly is, like, I know I keep saying this is my favorite character in the franchise.
You do say it a lot.
I do say it a lot. I've said it 3 times. Morden. I've said it about Legion. This is the, like, third person in the slot. A character who is a day one DLC. Very evil thing to do is a day one DLC. Because this character is the theme of the franchise, and I love it. So I'm very, very excited for you to meet him.
I'm excited.
They have some absolutely killer lines. That one in particular is, like, consistently quoted. There are 3 big quotes in this game, and one of them is a quote from him. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about next week because...
Yeah, me too.
The implications of this shit. And you know what? I can't get into it. It's a thing which I'm just very excited about. The Mass Effect
franchise, wait to talk about it.
This trilogy is really great at... I would still say that Dragon Age 2, I think, have my favorite companions. But the Mass Effect franchise, I think the implications and the questions that they ask with the companions are so great. And we're going to be able to talk about it, and you're going to understand completely what I mean as soon as we do Priority Eden Prime. Back to back to the tutorial, baby. That's where Mass Effect 1 took place, is Eden Prime. And we're going all the way back. Yeah.
So exciting. So excited. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I'm so excited to play. I'm so excited to talk about it. And Robin, do we have do you think we're going to have a new
I think I do have one.
Okay. Okay.
I do think I have one. This is a quote that will come up later. It is a very pivotal quote. It's one of the three quotes that are always quoted. But I think this one is my favorite. I'm thinking it's just Sorry.
Just give it to me. You got it.
I think it's, does this podcast have a soul?
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a quote that we will find in 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we say it on three. Does this podcast have a soul?
All right. And so, listeners, you tell us.
3, 2, 1.
Does this podcast have a soul?
The lag is so difficult.
But just say it. We'll fix it in post.
Does this podcast have a soul? There you go. We won't fix it in post. You can't fucking lie to me. We don't fix shit in post.
I would have actually fixed it if you didn't say that. Now it's funnier if I just leave it. I totally would have. Whatever.